Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Welcome to 2025. There's a lot to do, and we want to talk about what's ahead. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead. Well, we just celebrated the very first day of 2025, and so this is an exciting year. We are moving closer to that day of the inauguration, January 20, where there's going to be a new sheriff in town.
Oh, yeah.
And in fact, Holly, you see this already on the international scene. I've never seen anything quite like this before, where you have a president-elect actually replacing the presence of the president of the United States on the international scene, and those international leaders are clearly realizing this is the leader. Obviously, it's different because he knew them.
Right.
He was president one time before, and he has 4 years in between his first term and his second term. So it's a unique situation.
Yeah, I don't know if you caught him when he went to the reopening of Notre Dame and all the leaders were over there and they stood up to shake his hand and to acknowledge him. It's like, we're back. The respect for America is finally back.
You could see the respect for America is back. It's refreshing to see that before he even takes the oath of office. We said before we had an amazing 2024, but I am anticipating an amazing 2025. And January 20 is coming up around the bend. There's going to be a lot to do. As I mentioned yesterday on our program, we have created this internal wish list, if you will. It's a strategic plan for what we would like to accomplish in the next 4 years. And really, we need to look at this in two-year increments because a lot of this could be set back 2 years from now if the midterms ultimately change the composition of the House and Senate. And the president essentially would have no ability to get things passed through the House and the Senate. But there's a lot of opportunities with regards to the Senate in terms of appointing and confirming judges to the bench of the district courts, the courts of appeal, and who knows, maybe even a fourth person he might be able to nominate to the United States Supreme Court.
Wow, that'd be awesome.
That would be amazing.
Yes.
He has already put three people on the United States Supreme Court bench, but there could be an opening. I don't know if there's one that's anticipated. We don't have any indication to that, but you just never know. 4 years is 4 years, and that's a big opportunity. At any rate, it's a big opportunity to appoint these people at the Court of Appeals and the district courts because those have a huge impact on the judiciary.
Right. For example, I mean, we saw in 2022, Roe v. Wade was overturned because of President Donald Trump's appointees on the high court. Now, there's still work to be done in 2025. We had many abortion amendments that were passed in 2024, which is not a good thing. So we continue to fight. Of course, as Liberty Counsel, we've been representing Sandra Merritt since 2015 against the weaponization of Planned Parenthood. I mean, the money and the years in jail they're hanging over her head simply because she revealed that Planned Parenthood is making great profit off of aborting baby body parts.
Yeah, so we have that case ahead. So this case may come to a ultimate final resolution this year. We don't know, but we pray that it ultimately does. And we also have the Janet Jenkins versus Lisa Miller case that we've been involved in, and the SPLC has taken on that case. So we're continuing to wait for the ultimate resolution of that case. We're praying for good results on that particular situation. But there's so many other cases, like you talked about life. Life is a big issue, and we're talking about this on a state level because we had three states last year that ultimately defeated these abortion initiatives. Since Dobbs, you had Roe versus Wade overturned in June of 2022, and that resulted in a lot of these states that passed pro-life laws that ultimately significantly reduced the number of abortions in these different states. But in pushback to that, you had Planned Parenthood and others like the ACLU and the George Soros Open Society funding these initiatives to amend the state constitutions. And unfortunately, they were successful in a number of states. Mm-hmm. The first loss that they experience is in Florida, where we were very organized and we were part of the ground operation to educate pastors and others to oppose and vote no on Amendment 4. We educated people about how extreme it was. And Florida became then the first state to pass to defeat one of these abortion initiatives. Two other states followed during that election evening as well. And so three states. But unfortunately, some other states failed and they have abortion in their state constitution now, or will. So I think going forward, one of the things that we have committed is that we need to be able to transform the thinking of the culture, beginning with the church and certainly the church leaders, because these abortion initiatives should never be close to 50%.
Right. I mean, you have to look at the facts. I mean, we have a great document on our website called The Truth About Abortion, and it really shows you the facts about abortion, not to listen to the left's agenda, and they're saying it's reproductive health care, protecting women, et cetera, et cetera. You've heard all the euphemisms. But look at the facts about abortion and then make your decision.
And, you know, we've talked before about pastors speaking up, and last year in 2024, with regard particularly to Florida, speaking of Florida, we had more pastors that did speak up about the abortion amendment than I'd ever seen before. But it needs to be more than just speaking up around election time.
It's a biblical
issue.
It's
a biblical issue of just inculcating biblical worldview.
Right.
That so when you come to the issue of life, you have a foundation from which to think and make decisions. And then you realize, well, this is wrong. Abortion is wrong. Marriage is right. You know, all these other things are foundational and they grow out of that foundation. And the problem that we're seeing is that in churches, that foundation, that Judeo-Christian biblical worldview is not being laid down and discussed by pastors and churches and their leaders.
And they're using the excuse it's political.
And so we need, in terms of going forward as just an analysis of what we need to do, we need to make sure that the churches, the people are educated so that you have a foundation from which to think. And that's one of the things that we are going to be very much working on to develop and to address for Liberty Council in 2025 and going forward. If you think about those three states that defeated the abortion initiatives in 2024, only one state got more to say no than said yes. In other words, it was only South Dakota that had around a 60% that said no to the abortion amendment, and about 40% said yes.
And then I think it was Nebraska had two amendments.
Nebraska had two. They both got over 50%.
Yeah.
But the one pro-life one got more, higher percent, it was still in the 50s, than the pro-abortion one. So it ultimately won.
But even in Florida, it was very close.
In Florida.
More than 50%, which is really heartbreaking. We have a lot of work to do.
Yeah, so it was. We were thankful that we won Florida because Florida has a 60% threshold.
Right.
But had we a 50% threshold, we would have lost
our majority,
Florida.
Yeah.
Yeah, just a 50 plus one, if they would have been able to get it. And some states have just a 50 plus one. Mm-hmm. So we need to make sure that when these votes come up, no matter, I know in Florida, for example, they spent $137, maybe close to $200 million, and they committed a fraudulent campaign. We know that in their signature gathering. We know that in their advertising. They misrepresented it. But it should still be so evident to people that no matter how much they lie, you can see through their lies.
Right. No matter what they put on a commercial, it's a lie.
Yeah. So that's something that is a challenge and a charge for all of us to pray and to think about how we move forward to really restore this culture of life. We can't win this battle at the United States Supreme Court in Dobbs to overturn Roe versus Wade just to then lose it on the state level and put abortion into these state constitutions. And we can't have the country divided half free and half slave. I mean, that's what caused the Civil War before. Half of the states were free, half of the states were slave. You can't have a United States of America that way. Mm. You can't have a country that's half life and half death, mm-hmm. where children just across the border lose their life, but just a few feet across the other border, their life is protected.
And without life, we have nothing.
Without life, you have nothing. That is the right of all rights. So that's a challenge for us as we move forward this year in 2025. Lots of opportunities clearly ahead of us in every conceivable area. And the biggest challenge, I think, is to develop this culture of life and to transform pastors' churches to be these repositories of places where people are taught and they're discipled. For more information, visit Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org. That's lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. The website again, lc.org.